Island, point four.
Good evening.
Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
How are you doing, Jasmine?
Good, and you?
Baruch Hashem, things are good. Do you have questions tonight?
Not really. I've been very busy today.
Okay. Does anybody else have any questions?
Brandela.
Good evening, Brandy. You have any questions?
I have one question.
Well, hold on to it for a minute. Let's see.
Okay. Anna. Hey, Anna. Hello.
Hello. Good evening,
Hi.
Everyone.
Good evening.
I know Brandy has a question. Does anybody else have a question?
No, I don't.
Brandy, what's your question?
Well, it's more of like it's a question in a situation. I'm wondering if this is mind over matter. I went out recently to a place to eat, and I was checking the menu, and I ordered something, but I ordered a sandwich, and it either came with chips or fruit. And I was thinking I should probably get fruit, but I ordered chips. So when I got my order, they had given me fruit, which was kind of what I wanted anyway. So I'm wondering, how did that happen? I mean, is that significant that that happened? Is it a mind over matter?
You were playing out the movie.
Do what?
The
I was playing
said,
out the
movie. The movie said you're supposed to have fruit.
Okay.
But your consciousness was vacillating between chips and fruit. So the movie just continued to play out. It's not really mind over matter. It's just going through the movie. If you had stopped your reaction, which was confusion over which you should have, and said, I want to conjure up the kind of fruit that I like or the kind of chips that I like, then you would have stopped your reaction, and then it would have been a form of mind over matter. Is it significant? Only if you utilize it in your life and appreciate that Hashem was providing the healthy aspects for you. And that comes from your connection and your protection shield that you've been building.
So let me also ask this. If I was playing out the movie, that was what I'm taking was supposed to happen. I was supposed to order fruit. So then when we go through situations and we think of things, oh, I need to do this, and I do it, is that the movie already had decided what we needed to do and we're doing it?
The movie is what you chose. You chose to be in that movie.
Okay.
So, you know, the spiritual law is whatever happens in the physical world, that is what is supposed to happen. Because whatever's happening in the physical world is the movie. By choosing to stop your reaction and changing your consciousness and becoming proactive, you choose a different movie. But as long as you didn't stop your reaction and become proactive by changing your consciousness, you're in the same movie that you chose the last time you stopped your reaction. But whatever happens, it was supposed to happen. It wasn't that you wanted the fruit. Your protection shield was in place in that movie so that the chips, which are less healthy, didn't come with it. It wasn't that the person made a mistake. That's the way it was supposed to be, based on your connection to Hashem and your protection shield that you had built.
Wow.
And is it clear or confusing?
No, it's clear. So to really have stopped my reaction, I could have specified the kinds of fruit that I wanted, like all strawberries or all pineapple or all, or you know, banana or whatever. That would have
Correct.
Been stopping my
if
reaction.
You had stopped your reaction, so your reaction was confusion. But if
right.
your reaction, if you had stopped that confusion and made a firm decision, what you said was, I was choosing chips. But you were saying the words chips, but your consciousness was still in confusion. You were between fruit and chips. So your consciousness was never clear. And so the automatic protection shield that you had built through your connection to Hashem came into play. But that's the movie that you're in. But if you had firmly chosen fruit, and you could have conjured, you could have specified in your mind, you want all strawberries. And then that's what they would have brought you.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome.
We have no free choice. We always say we have free choice. And Hashem has said we have free choice. But the only free choice you have is to stop your reaction. You cannot stop a war that's going to come into this world, God forbid. You can't stop it, but you can control what is your reaction to it. You cannot decide who you're going to marry. It's built into the movie. But you can decide your reaction to it. I really don't like him, so I won't marry him. It's not free choice, it's built into the movie. The only thing you have free choice about is stopping your reactions.
Well, somewhere along the line, in some part of my studies, I vaguely remember that before we come down here, that we write, everything is written out, what we're going to do, as you call it, a movie, the whole time. And we agree to it. And so it makes...
Actually,
it makes
remember. What you remember the teaching is that before you come down, you are shown the movie you come down into. But you choose to stay in that movie or you choose to change that movie based on whether you control your reactions, whether you stop your reaction. All of the movies are already written. Every possibility of every decision nexus, every decision point, and every minute of every day, every second of every day of your life, all of those movies are waiting for you. For you to decide, I'll stop my reaction, and you pick a different movie. But then that new movie plays out. The writer is Hashem. The producer of the movie is Hashem. One way that I understand this process is I have a desire that is my movie that I want a new pair of shoes. But I don't really have the money for the new pair of shoes. But I have this big desire for a new pair of shoes. Somebody else has a desire for that same pair of shoes, and there's only one pair. Their movie shows them having the same pair of shoes. How does Hashem reconcile the two movies? That's what he does. He creates two pair of shoes so that there's no lack to either one of the desires. Or he says, this one has done the mitzvot, this one didn't. So I'm not going to create two pair of shoes. I'm going to motivate this one who didn't do the mitzvot to start to do the mitzvot because he lacks the shoes. And that'll motivate him to start doing them. And that's the movie that he is put into. But Hashem is essentially reconciling the two movies so that the world implements or puts the two movies together in a way that doesn't break physical laws, that seems to be normal and natural for everyone around them. And I hope that's a clear way to express it.
Well, it makes sense that what I was thinking is the one that had the money to buy the shoes bought the shoes and then decided he didn't like them and then bumped into the man who wanted the shoes and gave the shoes to the man and created a mitzvah.
And that is those are the three different potential movies that were already in creation when Hashem created the world. And he showed you the movie, and if you do the restriction, if you do the stop your reaction, you pick up a movie that has less chaos. So it's all simple. Stop your reaction, you get a better life. Don't stop your reaction. You stay in the same movie with all the chaos that's going to come at you based on your mistakes from your last lifetime.
Oh, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Let's say that I
I'm at dinner, and I want to have a glass of wine. That's my desire. But if I decide that I want to stop that desire, so it means that the mood is going to change?
Exactly. If you're at dinner and you have a desire for a glass of wine, that's a selfish desire, isn't it?
I don't know.
You want it for you. You want the wine for yourself. Now, how do you stop that reaction and change the desire for me drinking the wine for myself? And the only reason I'm going to drink that wine is because it gives me a chance to do kiddush for that dinner. Now I'm not drinking the wine for myself, I'm doing it for the mitzvah.
Oh. Yeah, but you know, sometimes you're not able to do a kiddush when you are like dining outside of your house.
Who says? Just because you haven't memorized the word? Just because you'd be embarrassed saying it in a restaurant? Why can't you do kiddush?
Well, I every time I'm gonna do, you know, water or wine or anything, I say my prayers, whenever I am, you know, I do the blessing.
So why not do that on the wine?
Well, I do the blessings
the
on the wine too.
The fact that you say a blessing on the wine at dinner, even if it's not kiddush, you say a blessing on the wine, you are changing the consciousness of I want this wine to I am only drinking this wine to give pleasure to Hashem, because he created that wine for me to drink. And he gets nachas, he gets pleasure seeing me use something he created.
But at the same time, I'm thinking
that is the essence of the mitzvah. That's the sole purpose of the mitzvah. The sole purpose of every mitzvah is to give pleasure to Hashem. But it's very, very difficult for a human being to let his ego go and to think that I'm only having this to give pleasure to Hashem. The Midrash essentially says that Rabbi Akiva never ate. What he did was receive goodness from Hashem, pleasure from Hashem, because so that he could share that pleasure back to Hashem. And that is what is described as a desire to receive in order to share. The only reason he drank the wine was to give pleasure to Hashem, to share pleasure with Hashem. That's the desire to receive in order to share. We cannot change our nature. Our nature is to receive. But we can change the consciousness of why we receive. I receive for myself, the selfishness, or I receive to give pleasure to Hashem. Now, sometimes I'll receive in order to give pleasure to my children, or I'll receive in order to give pleasure to my spouse, or I'll receive in order to share with another person. But what I'm really doing is sharing with Hashem, because each of those people that I mentioned has a spark of Hashem within them.
Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem is right. That is what is for me what creates so much awe about this system, the creation that Hashem has created. It truly is beautiful. It's beautiful to observe. It's beautiful to be aware of it. It's beautiful to learn the laws. It's just not easy to implement them. Any other questions? No other questions? Are we all in just awestruck?
I mean, awe.
I'm just trying to decide whether I ought to share my situation. I guess
I hope you will,
it seemed
otherwise
like
I'd have to get off the phone.
It seemed like all last month, it was each one of the Kabbalah tools that was being tested for me. But it's like now, the last couple of weeks, it's unity within diversity, okay? And I told,
right.
We had the conversation in one of the classes about not speaking up at Torah study. Well, yesterday I had an incident. You know, I do keep a kosher home, and I have a freezer in the garage, and then I have an extra refrigerator, mainly because I bake challah ahead of time and freeze challah and foods, you know. We shop, and the foods that I can't find when we do go to New Orleans or Houston, and so I put things in the freezer. And my son, who is not Jewish and who does not keep kosher, his refrigerator went out, and he called wanting to put three roast and some other things in my freezer. Well, I would have normally said, absolutely not. You're not going to bring this into my freezer. But I didn't. I just let it go and said, okay. I didn't really want to. So I emptied the bottom drawer, and he came and he told me it would only be that by the weekend he would have another refrigerator. But I could have had a family, you know.
Your reaction was to say no, but you
right.
stopped that reaction.
Right.
If
now
you
I covered
had said
it up.
No, you would have gotten into a family fight.
Right. Now I covered it up.
But because you stopped your reaction, you have peace in the family, and then you go to a knowledgeable person who will tell you there's nothing wrong with putting treif foods in a kosher environment as long as it's cold, because mm-hmm. the laws of kashrut relate to energy transfer.
All right.
So in a freezer, there's very little energy transfer. So the treif, the inappropriate, the negativity of that material wasn't going to be transferred to your kosher food.
Wow.
Wow. What if it was like, I'm not saying that it was pork, but what if it is?
No, no, it wasn't pork, but...
No,
I mean,
it wasn't pork. But even if it was pork, again, even if it was pork, in a freezer, energy transfer is very minimal. A year in a freezer, there might be some corruption of the kosher food, but for a few days, in a freezer, there would be no corruption. But you have to ask a knowledgeable person. That's what a rabbi who's an expert in kashrut will tell you. Yes, you can do it for a week. You can do it for 3 days. You can do it for 2 weeks. It may be different in different environments. Yeah, I'm not an expert at it. I know the general law. All kashrut corruptions, all transfer of energy slows down in freezers. It slows down in refrigerators, but not as much as it slows down in freezers.
Mm-hmm.
But because you stopped your reaction, you kept peace in your family. You didn't. You actually did a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of Hashem's name, because you went. I realize your son was not, was born before you converted, and he has chosen not to convert. But what you would have said to him is, if you had not let him put the meat in there, that being Jewish is more important and more loved than you have for me, your son. That could have been his thought. So by doing that, you create a sanctification of God's name, where he realizes that your love for him is paramount, and that Hashem takes care of you, because he didn't ask you to leave it outside. He didn't ask you to leave it in a pot. He asked you to put it into a cold environment that didn't allow energy transfer.
Right. I had really forgotten that. I remember, 20 years ago, of helping an elderly man who was Jewish here and teaching his housekeeper, his wife had died, his housekeeper, how to prepare his meals for the weekend. And, doing one shelf in his refrigerator with the dairy foods or parve, and one for his meat, and I had forgotten about that. But at least I think that makes it more meaningful now that you've said what you've said, because I just held my tongue.
Right.
Because I've had incidences with the grandchildren coming, and they want to order pizza, and this was when they were in high school, and I'd make them go eat the pizza outside on the patio, And then I had one of our little religious school children. He was being raised by his grandfather, and his grandfather was a doctor. And he worked on Shabbat, and so he would drop the little boy at my house at 7:30 in the morning, and he'd come with a donut and chocolate milk, And I wasn't going to put him on the patio at 7:30 in the morning, wintertime, And so I just made sure I had some paper mats and didn't say anything, and let him eat at the table. I mean, he was 7 years old, So,
you do what's appropriate. And there's an idea, there's a difference between the spirit of the law and the letter of the law.
Right. Yeah.
And unfortunately, in our world today, it appears, coming out of many Orthodox rabbis, that the letter of the law is primary rather than the spirit. But the Kabbalah is teaching you the spirit of the law. And the more you understand the spirit, the more you create sanctification of Hashem's name. You let the people who are not observant become aware of how appropriate it is to be observant.
Can I say something?
Of course.
Well, out of this blessed class and conversation, I can say that we have to be very careful on this, what we do, because people is looking at us, even though I'm not telling everybody that I study Kabbalah or anything like that, but just the way that I have my books, and when I have a discussion with somebody or my daughter or my ex-husband, and then they say, oh, but you study so much, and but you're doing this and that, or you're saying this and that. And then I say, wow, what am I doing? I mean, they're trying to say that all those books and what I study or what they know that I do Shabbat and all that is not enough for me to change the way they want me to change. And that really makes me, makes me sad, because it's maybe not their fault to say that it's mine, because I was the one that produced that reaction. That's my commentary.
And I appreciate that. The real issue that you're describing, and it happens to many people, whether they're born Jewish or they're just studying Kabbalah, they haven't decided to convert, or they are starting to convert. The basic issue is, do you go by the spirit of the laws? The Torah, one of the translations of the word Torah is laws. Another translation is teaching. So the Torah is teaching us laws. The question is, are we learning the spirit of the law? Are we learning the letter of the law? And how people respond to that, in one sense, in one movie, that person who's not responding well, who makes it difficult for you to keep kosher, or makes it difficult for you to pray, or makes it difficult for you to keep Shabbat, that person is sent to you from the negative system as a test. What will you do with someone who's close to you? So your daughter or your ex-husband when you were not an ex-environment. What will you do when your daughter says, I want to party, I want to have my friends over, and you're saying it's Shabbat? What's the letter and what's the spirit? Because the spirit of Shabbat is to be joyful. There's nothing wrong with your daughter bringing her friends over and having a party on Shabbat. Oh, but it interferes with my prayers. Why? Don't you have the ability to focus on your prayers and ignore the partying around you, other than to realize that your daughter is being happy, and that should give you pleasure, which will be giving Hashem pleasure to see that you're happy. It's not up to us to say that the other person is wrong. What's up to us is to share with others in a way that stops our reactive behavior. That's what we're here to do. We stop our reactive behavior. We choose a movie with less chaos. But that's not why we stop our reactive behavior. That's what we'll tell you when you first start studying Kabbalah. Stop your reactions so you'll get a less chaotic movie. But the real reason you stop your reaction is that's how you reveal light. That's how you connect to Hashem. That's how you give pleasure to Hashem. That's how you transform your desire to receive from one of selfishness to one of sharing. You're not doing it so you receive a less chaotic life. To the extent that you feel that, you have more growth to go through, more things to change. But the ultimate goal is just to do actions that give pleasure to Hashem. And the only actions you'll do is what pleases Hashem. What pleases Hashem is the laws of the Torah. Now, doesn't that sound religious? But it's not. Any other questions? Tomorrow is Thursday, so at our 4:30 class, we will have advanced reincarnation. And at our 7 o'clock class, we'll have a Zohar class. We're going to be doing the Zohar of Ekev. Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.